No, we're not going to talk about prayer this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but some of you were tired of it. I understand. I wasn't, but we're not going to do that anymore. Not today. When was the last time you planned a trip? Can you think back? Have you planned a summer trip this year? How many of you went on a trip this summer that you planned? Okay, quite a few of you did. When you go on a trip, you usually spend some time planning. If you're going 100 miles, maybe not. Hey, let's go, Barb and I occasionally, we'll go to Norfolk because I need parts or something. Or she needs groceries because family's coming or whatever. Well, let's go to Norfolk. Okay, jump in the car and we go. But if we're going to, say, I was going to a town west of Minneapolis. And I was planning how I was going to do that at 600 or 6 hours and so on. When you plan a longer trip, you spend a little more time in preparation. When I started to prepare for this morning, I got out the atlas. And when I got the atlas in the first place, Barb wasn't around, but then I had it laid out on the table and I was looking at it. And she said, "Where are you going?" And I'm not kidding. I told her, "I'm going to heaven, dear." She didn't say anything else. I suppose she thought, well, that's not going to get you there. That map's not going to work. This morning, this message is about our destination. And I've entitled the message, Eternal Destination. Now, when I told her I'm going to heaven, I meant that, but I'm going to throw out a question to you to see if I can keep you from falling asleep this morning, okay? I don't want you falling asleep. Did you know? And I asked Pastor this morning, and he said, well, then he starts into his analyzing, well, what does that mean, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I understand that, Pastor, that's your job. But the Bible does not say it. The Bible says, now, don't throw things at me, please. The Bible says that we will not spend eternity in heaven. Now, how many of you can raise your hand and say you knew that? I did not. Alicia did. She studied it, apparently. I thought God was always going to be in heaven. We were going to be with Him. That's where we were spending eternity, forever and ever. Okay, now, you think you can stay awake? Because I'm going to read to you this morning. I'm not going to preach much, but I'm going to read to you, and you will find out, like I did, that heaven is not, at least according to the words, now what they all mean, I don't know, but the words say that we will not spend eternity in heaven. With God, don't get mad, we will spend forever with God and with Jesus. I hope that piques your interest this morning. The problem with Revelation, which is what I'm going to read, some of what I'm going to read to you this morning, is that people always try to put in the when question. Okay, when? When is this going to happen? When is the Armageddon? When is all this stuff? Big mistake. Big mistake. You cannot discuss when. The reason the church, in a lot of ways, is so, the world thinks so little of the church is because over the years, people have tried to predict the end times. How many of you are old enough, and some of you are, to remember 1948, when Israel became a nation? People tell me this story. I wasn't around at that point, but people tell me that people actually went and sold everything they had, excuse me, and they went out into the hills and into the mountains and waited for Jesus to come because they knew when Israel became a nation, that was the end. That was it. Why have anything? Let's get rid of it. We're going to heaven. Well, 1948 is a long time ago. More recently, we've had people say, oh yeah, 2000. 2000 is when it's going to happen. The Bible says, no, it wasn't 2000. And there have been several dates since then. And the world finally says, huh, it's not COVID, it's allergies. The world says, huh, when is this coming? It's not going to happen. Yes, it is. But the problem that we have when we study Revelation or study prophecy is we try to insert when. Big mistake. We're not doing that. And we're not doing that this morning. Jesus said in Acts 1:7, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for us to know. We don't need to know when. We need to know what. And I'm going to share with you this morning where we're going. I'm going to share with you some of what it's going to be like. This morning, we're not going to talk about the Antichrist. We're not going to talk about Armageddon. We're not going to talk about the thousand-year reign of Christ. We're not going to talk about any of that stuff. But I want to share some opening remarks with you from Revelation 1, verse 3. You all know this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. For me, this is a no-brainer. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. So I'm going to read to you this morning from Revelation, and I'm going to be blessed because it says so. And if you pay attention and listen and take it to heart, you will be blessed. Barb told me yesterday, I believe, after I printed this all up, she said, there's something different about this sermon. You're not nearly as stressed. And I told Pastor that this morning. I'm not nearly as stressed because I don't care if you disagree with what I say because it's going to come right out of Revelation, you see. I'm going to read it from God's Word. And if you don't like it, take it up with Him. And so but this morning, blessed is the one who listens and takes to heart what it says. We've got Revelation 21 and 22 on slides, and we're going to try to work through this and try to keep it in order the best we can. I'm going to let you read that. It's from the ESV. I have the NIV in my thing that's just a little bit different, and I'm going to read it from here because I have comments inserted, okay? Believe me, I'm not preaching. We're reading this together, so if you can read and if you can see that, if you want to turn in your Bible, do that. Revelation 21 and 22, whichever you would like to use this morning. Then I saw, and this is John, okay? Everybody knows this, I think, but John, the Apostle John, was on the island of Patmos, exiled. He had been put there, we assume, by the authorities, Romans probably, for preaching the gospel. And they wanted him out of the way. He was causing trouble, so they put him on the island of Patmos. And John is the one who writes down Revelation. I said we're not going to talk about times, and we're not. But this is, according to John's writing, this is after the seven trumpets. John at least sees this after the seven trumpets, all the chaos. This is after the seven bowls of plagues, all the terrible things that happen on the earth. The hailstones of 100 pounds. You read it. It's just horrendous. As far as we know, as far as it says here, this is after that. Okay? But again, times, I'm not sure Revelation's in chronological order. I struggle with Revelation 12. I shared with you last week of how it describes Jesus being born and Israel. I don't understand it all. So whether it's all chronological or not, I don't know. But it seems to be that John is saying, after all the plagues, after all the awful things that Revelation talks about, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Now I'm going to insert here, notice coming down out of heaven. So the New Jerusalem, the city, is not heaven. Okay, make sure you understand that. But it is coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. There's more references to this a little farther down. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. Man, let this sink in, people. We are God's people. We've been talking about that the last 2 weeks. Let that sink in. We're talking about the Garden of Eden. Remember, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? We're talking about making all things new. God just said that. I'm making all things new. Lost my place. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I'm going to break here for a moment. Everywhere you look in our world today, the world is broken. Have you noticed? Everything's broken. The oceans, I'm appalled at what washes up on our shores. They say the fish are being found with bottles and all kinds of plastic junk stuck on them. And just after the last hurricane, there was some big oil leak, and they think it was from the hurricane. And our oceans are just broken. They're just a mess. Our air is full of toxins, and people don't, some people don't care. And you have sin everywhere. I mean, people killing. The death rate in Chicago is just, have you listened to any of this? It's just enormous. People just killing each other. Our world is broken. It's a mess. I'm making everything new, he said. Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. Where are we at, Jeremy? Are we at verse 6? He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. Not this, okay, not what we're looking at, not what we're living with now, but what he is making. He's making all things new. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Don't get the gender thing. Men and women, we are made in his image. We are sons of God. Don't get mixed up. You little girls back there, he's talking about girls too, okay? You understand that. He's not just talking about men. I will be his God and he will be my son. But, verse 8, this is about the only negative thing. There's one other place where this is listed. Here's the negative. But pay attention. Pay close attention. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Children, particularly children, your mom and dad say, tell the truth. Don't lie to me. You hear what God says? And all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Hell. Children, remember to tell the truth. Nothing more important other than loving Jesus. Tell the truth. That lake of burning sulfur is the second death. If someone is living this kind of life in this list, they're not serving Jesus. They're not serving the Christ. They may say, oh yeah, I said the prayer. Yeah, I prayed. I'm good. But then living this kind of life, they are not serving Jesus. You cannot do both. You cannot say, oh yes, I serve Christ, and then live that kind of a life. You can't do it. You're lying somewhere. Either the prayer you prayed meant nothing, or you didn't pray it, but something is wrong. And when God says, all of these people living this kind of life are going into the lake of fire. It's negative, but it's important to hear. Then, verse 9, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me. You got to read the whole book to get what he's talking about there. Came to me and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. All through Scripture, church, we are called the bride of Christ. That's who we are. As a group, as a body, we are the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom, we are the bride. He has made that marital picture because marriage means so much to Almighty God. He has painted that to us, he has told that to us all through this book, the bride of Christ. And the angel said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Verse 10, is that where we are? And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. Now, in spirit means he probably didn't go physically. John is still in Patmos. But somewhere in spirit, he went to a great mountain high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, here it is again, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 1,200 stadia, 1,400 miles for translation, 1,400 miles, and was wide and as high as it is long. Jeremy, you got a picture up here? Said it would take a little bit to go to that. There is a picture. Now, it's distorted. Somehow this is distorted. That picture is square. I mean, the red line is square. Okay, I took my atlas, and I used the scale of miles. It's up there in the top. You can't see it. But that is a square on my... When we sent it to Aisha. 1,400 miles each way. So from up there in Canada down to into Mexico, over to the tip of Florida, Panhandle of Florida, and up into Canada again. That is a 1,400 mile square. According to the miles on the Atlas scale of miles. That is the size of the shape, and the shape, not that shape, but square, of the foundation of the new city, New Jerusalem. Translations are translations, but that's what they said in my study, about 1,400 miles. Now, 1,400 miles times 1,400, do you know how many square miles that is? Some of you mathematicians? 1,000,000, I don't have this number written down, 1,900,000 and some... square miles. And that's okay. I mean, that's a lot, but then to get the full dimensions, you have to go 1,400 miles straight up. 1,400, it's as wide as it is long and as tall as it is wide. It's a cube. The New Jerusalem is a cube. 1,400 by 1,400 by 1,400. Do you know what that number is? No, nobody has that number. I have done this so many times because I couldn't believe it. Calculators don't go that high. It gives you an E and then it gives you a number. So I did it the long way and I asked my wife, is my math right? And she got mad at me because I didn't give her enough time and whatever. 2,744,000,000 cubic miles is the size of the New Jerusalem. 2,744,000,000 cubic miles. You got that all written down so you can remember it? It's not important. This is not the size of the new earth. We're not talking about heaven here. We're talking about the New Jerusalem. We're talking about the city that is coming down out of heaven, and God is bringing it to the new earth. I'm not reading you some fairy tale. This is going to happen, folks. This is going to happen. And you'll notice at the end, if we get that far, the end of Revelation 22 says, he's coming soon. These events are coming soon. And I know we've been saying that for a long time, but this is sooner than it was then. I wonder how long it took this angel to measure this thing. He had a rod to measure with. I wonder how long it took him to measure 1,400 by 1,400 by 1,400. He measured its wall. This is verse 17. You can go back to that, Jeremy. Go back to the scripture. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, forgive me, I may not get these right, chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophras, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I want to add a testimony to you here. I don't care what the streets are made of. I don't care. I've asked my wife many times, I said, honey, when can I get you a decent diamond ring? She said, I don't want another one. I want my little one that I have. And it's teeny. You look at her ring. I couldn't afford nothing. So I got her a teeny little ring. And I wanted to get her a bigger one. She said, no, I don't want a bigger one. And I don't care what we're walking on. I don't care what the foundations. How many of you go around your house and dig up the foundation to see what it's made of? No, you don't. As long as it's holding. And I'm not scoffing at God's word. I know that that's there for a reason. He put on in here why. I mean, he put in here what he wants us to know. And the foundations down in the foundation below the city are made of some of the most precious stones we've ever heard of. So it's important. I don't know why, but it is. But I want you to know God's presence. That's what I'm so anxious for. I don't care if the gold is coming on. I mean, the walls are all covered with gold. What are you going to do? You going to go buy groceries with it? I don't know. But I don't really care. As long as I can be where God is. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man. Ah, oh, that's where I get my willies. The dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I did not see, verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Think back to the Christmas story. Remember the Christmas story when the shepherds are out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night, and lo, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. What does it say about the angel of the Lord? What did the shepherds see? And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It was not the glory, it was not a brightness of the angel, it was God's glory reflecting, or God's glory coming out of this angel because he had been in the presence of God. You remember Moses would go up onto the mount, Mount Sinai, and he would go up there, and when he came down, his face was just, the people couldn't look at him because his face shone with the glory of God. And what this is telling us is the place is just going to shine because God is there. I don't know, I have it written down here, but I don't see it right now, but God is light, the scripture says, and in him is no darkness at all. So when God is in the city, the whole place is just brilliant. You need sunglasses maybe, I don't know. It doesn't say that, but you won't need a lamp. Then verse 24, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. This was kind of a revelation to me. It appears there's going to be nations on the new earth. The nations will bring glory into the city. Okay? On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. They will not be, the nations will not be looking for dominance over each other. Whatever the nations are doing, they will not be at war with each other. They will be honoring God. Their glory will be brought into the city. And here's the other negative slot. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. I'm running out of time, so let's go right to Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. I want you to notice something here that I did not think about. The fruit was borne by this tree every month, which tells me that time will still be relevant. Time will still be measured in months, apparently. I hadn't thought about that before. And the leaves, this I don't understand. This is one that really goes beyond me. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now we're talking about eternity here, or so I thought. We're talking about God in the New Jerusalem. That's where he lives. His dwelling is in the New Jerusalem. This city is on the earth, new earth. And somehow the nations still need healing. I don't know this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what this means. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. You farmers, I have pulled so many weeds this summer that my hands won't come clean. They look green, they're dirty. I can't get the green chlorophyll off of my hands. You know why we have weeds? Because of the curse. Amanda, do you know why you have pain in childbirth? Because of the curse. No more curse. Ladies and gentlemen, imagine that. No more curse. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. No reference to heaven here, but in the city. God's throne will be in the city on the earth, the new earth, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. Remember God said, no one can see my face and live? That's different now. Now we will be able to see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no need for the night, for the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. I don't know if I want to reign. Who am I going to reign over? You see, there's a lot of things I don't understand here, and maybe you don't either. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. This is verse 6. These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servant the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at his feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said, do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Don't understand this part either. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Remember God said, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't have from the fruit of the tree of life, so you live forever. You can't have that. I don't want you to suffer forever and ever in your present state. But here it says, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Again, lying. That is a big one with God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Verse 17, I printed in red in my notes. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. When you leave this life, when you leave this body, the Bible teaches you will be present with the Lord. This is where we're going. I don't know when, I don't care when. But you and I are going to be in the presence of God. And it is going to be incredible. I hope you'll read the whole book of Revelation. It's full of awful things. But when you get to the end, it's full of really good things.